and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and has suffered many things of many physicians and has spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the healing power that's found still in your word. Thank you for the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Father God, we all have our issues. And like her, Father God, we need to take them to you. We need to come in contact with the Savior, with the Lord, who's still doing great work. Father, thank you for the choir and the ushers and all that has gone on today. Thank you for Sylvia's, her wonderful prayer of faith and thanksgiving. And we ask that you bless the service this morning. Bless the preach word. And let a heart be opened. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody touch me. Somebody touch me. And again, today we look at Jesus and he's on his way to the cross. The moment he was born, he was on his way to the cross. But a lot of miraculous things happened as he walked toward the cross to do this great work. Today we read the story about the woman with an issue of blood. Fantastic story. If we go back a little bit, Jairus had already approached Jesus. Jairus was the ruler of the temple. He ran the temple. He would have known this woman personally. He would have been the one that told her she wasn't allowed to come to the temple. Jairus had a daughter that was 12 years old, and the word of God said that his daughter was dying. And this woman had fought through the crowd, and she laid her hands on Jesus. And Jairus, all his issues and all his problems with his daughter was put on hold. And that's just another picture of the wonder of Jesus. He always has time for us when we call on him. He's not busy. I believe when the Baal worshippers, and I don't forget his name, he was fighting the Baal worshippers, and they were cutting themselves, and they were crying out, and he said, "Where's your God? Is he asleep? Is he on vacation? He's taking a nap?" Amen. Jesus is always there for us, and we see that today. We see that today, and I think, you know, when we look at her story, and I want to try to bring some things out today, because all of us, we all have our issues. And her issues would have brought all these things upon her. She would have suffered many things because of her issue of blood. First of all, she suffered physically. And many of us today are suffering physically. and we're not strong. I'm watching Deacon Oliver sit in the front row this morning, wondering, and he looked like he was laboring a little bit. You know, but we're suffering. We're in this flesh. And again, one of the things we have to remember, and I think a lot of times we don't, and I'm working with a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists and social workers and caseworkers, and a lot of our issues is because of the fall. Because of what happened in the garden. A lot of times what happened in the garden can only be corrected by what happened at Calvary. We're trying to do a whole lot of things. And I tell folks, that's all right. It's good to know what you've been through. It's good to know what you're going through. But it's good to get to Jesus, too.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with knowing where you've been, knowing how these things may have affected you. But at the same time, you need to know it was just a part of the process. She suffered physically. She had a chronic condition. She was a dying woman. And many years I worked at TCI, Trumbull Correctional. We had the females there. We had the female inmates there for about 5 years, and I was a supervisor down there that whole time. And one of the things that happened that I thought about when I was studying this, we had two women that I know of that had an issue of blood. They had internal bleeding. It wouldn't stop. We couldn't stop it. We just sent them down to Columbus. They come back. I'm still bleeding. Sergeant M, I'm still having problems. I'm still bleeding. All we can do is give them more and more pads. Still a problem today. With all our medical science and all our medical knowledge, I think hysterectomies are probably one of the ways that they deal with that. But these women had problems. These two female inmates, and the one woman was very, very slight built, and she was almost withering away. You could see it. She was terrified. She knew there was a problem, and this went on for months. This went on for almost 6-7 months. They were dealing with this back and forth to Columbus, and the struggle was there. So we see this woman suffering physically, and a lot of us suffer physically. Now, I know some of us, we have diabetes, some of us have high blood pressure, some of us have other issues. Some of us are on medication. If we stop taking it, we have a lot of problems. But sometimes God will use our suffering to get us to Calvary. Sometimes we look at it, why me, why me, why not you? Why not you? Many of us in here, myself, many of us in here, we came to the Lord because we had issues. We wouldn't have, we didn't have any issues. We thought we had it all together. We had it going on. We didn't need God. God was General Motors. God was Packard. God was GE. God was what was most important in your life. That was your God. As long as that was doing okay, you was fine. She suffered medically. And again, when you talk about medicine in those days, it was more or less just witchcraft. One of the ways that they would do, they would say, well, I'll get some weeds and some grass, and I would get all this stuff, and they would burn it or soak it in water and tell her to sit over it or surround yourself with it. Then the doctor would just come up and scream and yell at her, be gone, bloody flux. Now, that was part of the medicinal way they did things back then. Be gone. After they do their little concoction, they say, be gone. We got some doctors like that today. And they know. Many folks go to the doctor just to get pills. I've been in Walgreens and Rite Aid and seen folks coming out of the pharmacy with just bags of pills. Yeah, and I thought about that, and accidental drug overdoses in 2013, there was 43,982, Center of Disease Control. Out of that 43,982, 35,663 of them were prescription drug overdoses. Accidental. She grew worse. Many of us are growing worse. We can sit in church and grow worse. How about that? That's scary. You can sit in church and come to church every Sunday and be growing worse. spiritually. We had Dr. Charismatic and Dr. Good Music and Dr. Feel Good, and a lot of the pastors are cheerleaders. And their job is to keep you entertained, because they figure if you're happy and you like church, you'll keep coming. And a lot of folks in those situations are growing worse.
Amen.
Are growing worse. She had an incurable illness that only God could heal. Amen. Now, we're familiar with this because we watch our beloved Teddy. It's been over a year. Going on 2 years, she's been struggling with this thing. And she's been through some stuff.
Amen.
Brother Larry. Sister Pinky, taking the chemo and different things like that. And Sister Pinky loved coming to church. Teddy loved coming to church. Larry, Mother Wallace. She not only suffered physically, she suffered medically. She suffered socially. Become an outcast. Back in those days, you had a blood disease. You were considered unclean. Now, we've come a long way. But there was a time when... There's a time I'm not going to put myself out there, but I've been in Walmart and Kmart, and I see the men. They come, they got, you know, wife call them on the phone, text me, I need some pads. Times have changed. But back then, you had a blood disease, that was a cause for divorce. You'd be ostracized. You could be employed, but you couldn't be around people. And you were a beggar. Her condition changed everything about her. Another reason to come to the Lord.
Amen.
She suffered emotionally. She lived the years of disappointment. Being 12 years, a lot of theologians say, but she may have got this disease at the time that she started her menstrual cycle. 12 and 13, she might have been just a young woman at 24, 25. Ostracized, rejected, lonely, hopeless, abandoned. No one's going to come around her. That was that society. Religiously, how about that one? You think about her and her religious life. She wasn't allowed to go into the temple. She wasn't allowed to be a part of a public prayer or even go to the woman's court of the temple. She was banned from all fellowship. Financially, some folks say she had money. We like this one. A lot of preachers like these women with money. A lot of your big ministries now, the big ministries are, you look out in the crowd, you see nothing but women.
Amen.
You see nothing but women. Women don't have a problem giving money. Sometimes they're not as discerning as they should be. Not the women here. She suffered financially. Religiously, financially. Think about this. We play the records here. We can't afford a drummer. We can't afford an organist. A lot of churches do. They have all that. And most of your churches have fixed income folks. Folks on fixed income. And they got to pay for that music. And you got to pay that music director. And you got to pay that choir director. And they squeeze the absolute life out of folks.
Mm-hmm.
They squeeze the absolute life out of folks. And when sometimes we wonder, I think we had this conversation in Sunday school, why people don't come to church. A lot of folks don't come because they can't afford to come.
Wow. Amen.
They look at church as a bill.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the preachers preach it like it's, you know, you owe us. If you want to come here, it costs you. You know, you make $10,000 a month and you got to tithe off of that. They don't care if you got kids in college or you got car payments and bills. When you get saved, your bills don't get saved. I remember my brother when he got saved, and he had both his kids in college, and the pastor said, well, we believe in tithing. Well, talk to them about Jesus first.
Amen.
We are tithing church. Well, you know what? I understand that, but
Talk to him about Jesus. It's his first day on as a Christian.
All that changed. All that changed
when she heard about Jesus. Look at Mark 5:27. I think this is a big issue in the church. Now, I go to Yankee Kitchen. Anybody been to Yankee Kitchen? Not lately? I like Yankee Kitchen. You go to Yankee Kitchen, and you get the everything omelet. Elmer, you been there? Master, you go to Yankee Kitchen. You get the everything omelet. You got to take it home. I don't have a problem telling folks about Yankee Kitchen. Some of you guys have your favorite restaurants. You got your favorite team. You got your favorite movie. Your favorite store. You women got your favorite stores. You got your favorite stuff. And we don't have a problem telling them about what we really like. Girl, you need to go here. They got a sale going on over here. They got the best over here. Whatever. But we have to get that way in talking about Jesus. And we have to learn to turn those conversations to Jesus. There's nothing wrong with talking about your favorite sports team. I love talking about the Browns and the Steelers and the Bakers and the Super Bowl. But at some point, listen, let's see if we can move this thing. Okay? Talk about Jesus. This woman heard of Jesus. What did she hear? What did she hear? She heard that he was healing folks. She heard that he was healing whole cities. And I believe she heard it from folks that she knew. Because they were all hung together. All the lepers, all the women. Matter of fact, Jesus called it a plague. And a plague would go through a town and everybody that had the plague hung out together. Okay, some folks say Christians have the plague and we hang out together. Okay. She would have heard this. She might have heard about Mary. Think about Mary Magdalene. Mary might have had the same issue she had. The Word of God. I've not seen this today, and sometimes I see things that I haven't seen before because we always think about Mary and the seven spirits that Mary had. But if you look at the text, Mary has some other things going on. It says in Luke 8:2, and a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Mary was a hot mess. Mary had some things going on, Claire. She wore the mini skirts, smoked some cigarettes. She partied. She had some evil spirits in her, and they were running her. And then she had some infirmity. Maybe she heard about Mary. Maybe somebody said, you remember Mary Magdalene? She had the spirit of infirmities too. She had seven demons. And she's been healed of all that. Maybe she heard this in Mark 3:10. It says, for he had healed many so much that they pressed upon him for to touch him. As many that had plagues. She heard something. What is the world hearing from us? Are they hearing about a God that can still save? That can still change a life? It's hard to preach it. But folks don't want to see it. We live in a visual world. They live in a visual world too. Remember the story in Luke 16 when Jesus was talking to the rich man in hell. And he was talking to Jesus. He said, listen, in Luke 16:27, he said this. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wilt send him to my father's house. He wanted Jesus to send Lazarus to his father's house. Why? For I have five brethren. Think about folks that love you. Now think about it. This is a good question. Think about the people that love you. That because of your example, they've modeled you. They want to be like you. You know, be like Mike. be like Minister Dave. I want to be like Minister Dave. Or I want to be like Jake. I want to be like Jake. Or I want to be like Brother Elmer. Here's what he says. I have five brothers that I may test it, that he may testify to, lest they also come into this place of torment. What's the problem there? What's the problem there? I've told you about my nephew. You probably never see him in here because when we was running together and I was working out, all I did is worked out. All I did is worked out, eat chicken breast and orange ruffy and broccoli. And I wanted to be Mr. America. And every time I see him, and he's big as a gorilla, and he's eating chicken breast, orange ruffy, and broccoli. Want to be like me. He was probably 15 years younger than me. And that's all he's seen from his uncle. I was his favorite uncle. I jacked him up. Sharon laughing. I did. And we can do the same thing. He don't want to hear it right now. Hopefully, I don't give up on nobody. Amen. He still come around. I still see him every once in a while. He know what I'm doing. Here's Abraham. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Somebody's had a big, still a big shot in hell. He's still a shot caller in hell. He's in hell. You think you're gonna lose all your faculties because you go to hell? No, you're gonna still be the man. You're gonna still have your personality. People don't. I don't believe in hell. All right, hang in there. Hold that thought. That's what they say. Hold that thought. And he said unto Jesus, he said unto Father Abraham, rather, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. What's he saying? They need to see something. They need to see something. Because we are visual. Why you think, I said last week, Pastor, they got props and they got all kind of stuff going on, screens, TVs, all that going on, TV, because they trying to hold y'all's attention because they know y'all got some 70-inch TVs. 55s, 60s. And you got Showtime and you got HD and everything's so crystal clear. And you come here and look at me sitting in these hard pews, you'd be like, whoo, whoo. Maybe I'll put that yellow sweater on, give me some yellow robe, keep y'all like. Listen, here's what Jesus said to him, here's what Abraham said to him. And he said unto him, no. If they hear not Moses in the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. What's Abraham saying to this man? Faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's so throughout the Bible. I got so many scriptures that talk about that. But James 1:18 really makes it clear. James 1:18 says this, of his own will begot us with the word of truth. If you saved, you were saved because you heard the word of God. If you saved and you didn't hear the word of God, then you probably just need to probably just put that thing under a microscope. Put that salvation under a microscope because the word of God says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now it's hard for me to even get through this without going to 1 Corinthians Chapter 2, where Paul says in verse 1, and brother, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Paul preached the word. He said, I preach Christ and him crucified. You ought to expect to hear it every Sunday. Amen. You come in here and you don't hear it, you say, well, Pastor's slipping. You have to hear it. Why? Being born again, 1 Peter 1:23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Take it in. It's going to live in you. And God's word living in you is of your guarantee that you're not going to hell. Because God's spirit will not go to hell. God's Holy Spirit will not go to hell. So you need to make sure that you have the incorruptible word of God living and abiding in you. in you. Incorruptible. Amen. Amen. Incorruptible. Listen, she heard all that. She probably heard the preacher from Gadarenes. I like the preacher from the Gadarenes, the lunatic. Remember the lunatic? When God saved him and he was sitting at Jesus in his right mind. Clothed. He used to run around naked. Now he's sitting clothed and in his right mind. And you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to go with Jesus. See, anybody that's saved, anybody that God has touched, that's been born again, want to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm going to ordain you and I'm going to commission you. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and tell everybody.
Yeah.
Tell them all the great things that God has done for you.
Yeah.
And he departed. The Word of God said he departed. And began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel, men and women. She might have heard him. What a wonderful day for her. What a wonderful day for all you guys. Oftentimes I'll be watching TV and I'll watch sports and I'll watch the guys. They'll win a tennis match and they'll win a Super Bowl. And they'll say, this is the greatest day of my life. That's your ticket. I don't care what happens to you. I don't care what accomplishment you get. I don't care what man lay on you, what honor man lay on you. I don't care. Jackie could have 10 babies. But the greatest day in her life or in Jake's life will be the day that she heard about Jesus. That child will always be second fiddle. Second. You married somebody and anyway, I want to be number one in your life, then you need to just back out. Listen, I already have a number one.
Amen.
You can be number two. That's just real, ain't it?
Amen.
You coming in at number two. See, that was Satan's problem. See, if somebody come in your life that they want to be number one, then you're dealing with a demon. If you say, I want to be everything to you. No, you can't be. Because you change. My everything don't change. He the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. See, you change. You got hormones and estrogen. Why do all the men laugh and the women didn't? We got to deal with that. Ah, Lord have mercy. Listen, let's look at her. I mean, now, listen. Somebody said the joy of the Lord is my strength. It takes strength to come to Jesus. She got her strength from hearing the Word of God. I just pray that you guys are strengthened when you come here. When you leave here, you're stronger. I don't want you to leave here entertained. I'm not here to entertain.
Amen.
Okay? When you leave here, you ought to be strong. You ought to be strong. You ought to be able to face. I can face tomorrow. Because I know I'm not doing it on my own. I can go in there and face some demons. I can walk in there. I can walk in that office and I know them folks can't stand me, but I can face them. Because I got it parallel. I got it right. I'm not worried about so much having it horizontal. See, we worry about what folks on the side of us think of us. And when you get parallel, you worry about what. You worry about what the Lord think of you.
Amen.
He'll take care of the ones on the sides.
Yeah.
Because I'm going up. It was a great day for her. Because she learned about Jesus. She learned about Jesus. She learned about Jesus. She learned about Jesus. Jesus, the miracles were only to authenticate that he came to die for our sins. He came to die for our sins. Listen, look at her determination. It takes determination to get to Jesus. See, some of us aren't determined. We got so many things going on. And they just wither us down. And we don't have the energy. We don't have the strength to live for Christ. Because it takes strength. That's what Jake was teaching this morning. To put on the whole armor of God. He didn't tell you to put that on because it was going to be an easy life.
Yeah.
You don't put the whole armor of God on because it's going to be easy. You put it on because you're going to be in a battle.
Amen.
And you know it. The moment that you go and tell your loved ones and family, I'm born again.
Oh,
all hell breaking out in that family.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. And a lot of folks can't come to the Lord because family and friends. Because you got, oh, I don't want to lose all my friends. Well, you don't want to be saved.
Amen.
Well, it's going to cost you something, brother. It's going to cost you something, sister. Listen. She was determined. And her determination came from the Lord, from knowing that He was healing folks, knowing that He was touching folks, knowing that folks could just walk up to Him and touch Him. Somebody said, He touched me.
Yeah.
I have a story. I got to share this one. Y'all know this is my favorite one of all. Mark 1:41. I don't even know how I put it at. Goodness, I'm about to turn to it. But it's the story of the leper. Oh, that leper. That leper said, If thou will, thou can make me whole. Imagine if he would have talked to that leper. I believe Jesus healed that leper because that leper was well known. And well known in that whole territory. He was well known. It says this. I got it now. It says this in Mark 1:40. And there came a leper unto him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou will, thou can make me clean. So, see, somebody needs to be clean today. Somebody needs some clean thoughts. Somebody needs to clean up their acts. Do a spiritual inventory. I got some stuff. I got some junk that I need to deal with. You read this, sort of read this into what he's saying. If thou can, thou can make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will. Be thou clean. Now watch this. Now you tell me, if you think you can be full of leprosy. This man was full of leprosy. And Jesus gave him this. And Jesus knew already he was going to run and tell everybody. He said this. And Jesus said this. And as soon as he spoke, immediately the leprosy departed from him and was clean. And he straightly charged him, for which sent him away and said unto him. Somebody said Jesus don't have a sense of humor. Jesus has a sense of humor. Don't let nobody tell you that. To deal with these 12 disciples and heal these folks and say this. See that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for a cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And Jesus Christ said, now watch what he do. That's how, ain't that how he do? Watch what he do. But, anytime you see but in the front of it, you know something wrong. But, he went out and began to publish it. He went out and preached. He started a church. He began to publish it much. And that's the only thing you can do. I don't fault the man. He had to tell it. Listen, he didn't just tell it. This is what he said. And to blaze abroad the manner so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every corner. Now, I wonder if she would have ran into him. Think about his testimony. He was a leper. The Word of God said he was full of leprosy. He had full-blown leprosy. He probably said, listen, don't you remember me? I had full-blown leprosy. Both my hands fell off. My ears fell off. My lips even fell off. And when Jesus touched me, everything came back. Everything came back. The joy of life comes back when you touch Jesus. And I think she knew, I got to come into contact. I have to come into contact with Jesus. And I'm sure she heard stories of him just speaking a word like he did with the centurion. He just spoke a word. But this woman felt like she had to come in contact with him. And I sort of believe that. I believe that we need to come into contact with Jesus. And the one way we come into contact with Jesus, by hearing the Word of God preached, then by going home and studying and praying, and we come into contact with Jesus. We talk in relationships. And I say this all the time. You know, there's no successful marriage where folks don't communicate. Amen. Communication is everything. Cindy was out of town this weekend, and she was calling me, and I was texting her, and she was calling me. Because we so used to communicating. Told her she ain't going nowhere no more. And so I can go out of town, not you. Different.
She out there walking on tour with high-heeled boots on, looking all good. Let's look at her determination. She says this in Mark 5:27. I believe I'm 5:27. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Touched his garment. Now, that word touched doesn't mean she just walked up there. I think some of you watch some of the videos and she just walked up there and just touched. That's not what the word means. It's a strange word that you find in the Old Testament that said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That means she grabbed a hold of Jesus' garments. She didn't just walk up there and just like, you know, you'd be sitting behind somebody and, you know, and touch their ear and be like, act like you didn't do it. Kind of stuff I do. She grabbed it. Who said that? She grabbed it. She grabbed his garment. Let's talk about the garment for a minute. I'm not going to go real deep into it. It represented a lot of things. First of all, represented his humanity. The fact that he was born of a woman, the fact that he had to be born of a virgin and had to die as a man. And as a man, he had to be covered. He needed to be covered. The linen, Jake was talking about the linen, the tunic, and the linen had to be made a certain way. And it represented holiness and purity and righteousness. The garment also represented his property. He had nothing. He didn't have nothing. He said in Luke 8, I believe, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his hand. Nothing. It represented his deity. It represented his deity. It represented unity. Remember, it was all one piece. Representing his unity with God. It was just one piece. It represented his office. So don't think she was just touching it. She knew what it meant. She knew who he was. He was prophet. He was priest. He was king. It represented his burial clothes. It represented the fact that he was going to die. Remember when Peter ran into the tomb, he found Jesus Christ's linen. He found his linen. But this is what I thought was interesting. In Numbers 15:37, it says by the law, Jesus fulfilled all the law, that the prophets and the priests had to wear a linen garment. And it represented the fact that they were going to keep all the law. It was symbolic for them, because we know no man can keep all the law. But she knew that he was the Messiah, son of David. He was sinless. He was perfect. He wasn't playing. When his garment, he fulfilled it all. He truly was sinless. He truly did keep all the law. He kept all the law. Who touched me? Verse number 30. And immediately knowing in himself. You ever been witnessing to somebody? And you feel like, you just be talking to somebody. You may meet them in the grocery store, you start talking about the things of God, and you just feel some kind of way. You just feel, I get those feelings. I feel like, you know, we had a conversation, I feel like they got something out of it. Maybe there's going to be a change in that person. Or maybe that person blessed me. It says this, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue, power, had gone out of him, he turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Who has grabbed hold of me? Now, a lot of folks was there for the wrong reasons. See, then we talk about the crowds. See, a lot of folks really like TMZ. They were there taking pictures. There were other people out there asking questions.
Are you the son of God? Who's going to sit on your right hand? Who's going to sit on your left hand? How long is it? You know, they weren't there to get saved. They weren't there to learn. They weren't there to get touched. They were just there because he was the biggest show in town. And they were just there. This woman was there for a reason. She wanted to be healed. She wanted to be healed. She spent everything she had. She didn't want to die of that plague. She wanted to be healed. Not only was she want to be healed, now that she knew who Jesus was, she wanted to be made whole.
Amen.
She wanted to be healed forever. The Word of God says, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And it's Peter, because we go back to, I think, Luke's version of Peter. You know, Peter always got stuff to say. Peter said, "Master. Master. We're covered. We're surrounded by people. How do we know who touched you?" Verse 30. Jesus said this. Verse 31. And as his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her. He knew. That had done this thing. Now what's the purpose of this? Why is he singling her out? Is he trying to embarrass her? I don't think so. I believe we ought to be, I hate to use the word proud. I need another word. I think we ought to be delighted to tell people what God has done for us. If he's done anything. Now if he ain't done nothing, you ain't got nothing to tell. But if God has saved you, if he's delivered you, if he has been a blessing to you, you ought to be able to tell somebody, just like I like to tell people about Yankee Kitchen. Man, get to everything. All that you got to take, you can't eat it all. So we're going to have next men's meeting that. But you understand what I'm saying? He wanted her to make a public confession of what God has done for her. Now, can you do that? I guess that's the question. Because see, when we look at our churches, now a lot of folks are, you know, I'm not talking about making a public confession of how nice your church is. And I believe we have a nice church. But we don't need to have public confession. Well, you know, we got to bounce around for the kids. We got children's church. They watch these Veggie Tales all day. We got a water club. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay? I'm talking about telling them how Jesus saved you and set you free and gave you a new nature and some new desire. I'm not the same no more.
Amen.
I'm not. You know, people say, you anybody seen Neil? Man, Neil in the church. All he do is go to church. Matter of fact, I think he's pastor of church on the east. Those are people I was close with. They don't have an idea. They wouldn't even know where I'm pastoring at. Because when God saved me, okay? When he saved me, things start falling off. I didn't call none of them up and say, "Look, I'm not hanging out with y'all no more. I'm saved now. I'm a Christian. Go to church." I ain't had to do that. They cut me loose. Man, much learning has made the brother mad. He called me every day. "Well, we're going to be at Candywood. We got tea times at Pine Lakes. When we're going to be at Mahoney Country Club." And the phone calls just stopped. It's a price. It's a price. And everybody can't pay it. That's why I preach on the cost. Tell them about the cost. When you're out there witnessing the folks, tell them about the cost. Don't tell them how wonderful everything is, because it ain't all wonderful.
Amen. Okay?
Tell them about the whole armor of God. That's a great lesson. That's a great lesson. You don't need that for nothing. Listen. But the woman, verse 32, 33, fearing and trembling. That's right. Work it out, sister. The Word of God said, work out your salvation. How? Fear and trembling. She working it out. And it comes with a confession. And she fell down, the Bible says. Fearing and trembling, she fell down. And told him and everybody that was listening all the truth. All the truth. And what was the truth? That she had been delivered. That she had been delivered from this plague. And she'd be delivered from not only that, but something else happened to her. Salvation came into her life. She had new life. This is what Jesus said. He said, where you get that from? Watch this. She went from being a certain woman. Everybody Jesus healed, he didn't call daughter. See, a whole lot of folks healed and right back doing their thing. Okay, the tubes is out. The IVs is out. The breathing machine is out. And I'm back to doing my thing. Drinking and smoking and cussing and back on the dance floor. Healed me. That's the thief on the cross. See, Margaret asked me the other two. There's two thieves on the cross. See, the one wanted to get out. He just wanted to get out of the hospital. Okay? He said, you know, if you're Christ, save yourself and me too. Let's get out of here. Get back to what we was doing. The other one said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. That's a big difference between them two. And somebody asked me, well, what's the difference? God opened one's heart and the other one he didn't. They both heard the word. This is what we got to pray. Open our heart. You know, pray for our kids. Ain't nobody just praying for them to come to church. Hell going to be full of church folks.
Amen.
We need to pray that God will do a work in their heart. That's why I talk about Lydia. That's why I talk about Ruth. That's why I talk about Paul. That's why I talk about the centurion's son and this woman here. God done a work in her heart. She gone now. She died. Something else came along. This is why I said, get on these folks. You know? Oh, I've been healed. You still going to get sick and die.
Amen.
Then what you going to do?
Amen.
I've been healed. You know, heal my son. Heal my daughter. Heal my cousin. Heal my father. They can heal them all they want. Guess what? They get down here.
Amen.
They still leaving. You take to the Cleveland Clinic. People think you go to the Cleveland Clinic and everybody live forever and they go to the Cleveland Clinic. Now, let me tell you something. Read the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Folk dying in the Cleveland Clinic.
Amen.
Okay? It's just a nice hospital to die in, I guess. I died in the Cleveland Clinic. Me and hell, I died in the Cleveland Clinic. You died in Northside Hospital. That don't make no sense to it, Jackie. Day to day, you die without Christ in hell.
Amen.
Pastor, you crazy. Amen. I am crazy. This woman, listen, she came into the scene, verse number 24, 25, a certain woman. Verse 34, he said unto her, daughter, that's a step up, I believe.
Amen.
She, God is saying now you're not only healed of your plague, but you are in the family. You are in the household of God. That's what you want. You know what? A lot of folks leave the hospital. I go down there, they got their butt out. They got the little butt out robes. They dragging that IV machine. They out there outside of the hospital smoking. All right. That's different to me. And he said unto her, daughter, you are a child of God now. That's more important than your healing. That's more important than being healed.
Amen.
That's more important than anything.
Amen.
That's why I sit here and I said the greatest days of my life was when God saved me.
Amen.
And the second greatest day of my life when he saved my father. Yeah. That's some good stuff.
Amen.
See, we want to hit the Powerball. We scratch it. Hunt it up. Make it happen. Greatest day of my life. Greatest day of your life. Has to be. Dave, we got all the Sunday school teachers and Sharon and all y'all teaching. The greatest day of your life has to be the day you get saved. Because anything else happen, it's a secondary. Because you're leaving here. This woman, she was healed, but she gone. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he's dead again.
Amen.
God, in thy faith, hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. I believe he's talking about another kind of plague now. I don't think he's talking about it again. I don't think he's talking about the plague. I think he's talking about the plague of life. The plague of living in this evil world. Listen. I got too many notes. I'm not even going to try to cover all this stuff. I'm just not. But I think four things happen to everybody that's saved. God takes control. You're not in control anymore.
Amen.
You're not the shot caller. When you tell me you got the Holy Spirit in you and you telling the Holy Spirit what you're going to do, then you got a different kind of Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Then it comes personal. It becomes personal. Okay, Lydia became personal. To the centurion servant, to the jailer. We talk about the jailer in Philippians 16. It became personal. Zacchaeus. When Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house, he said, if I've done some stuff, I'm done. Mike went out. Now I got to talk loud. Amen. It's good to have somebody up here. See that? Dave is smooth too. Powerful, personal, profound. I say profound, intense and thoughtful. You have to think about this stuff. It's going to follow you around. Your relationship, I say it all the time. Y'all know I love being married. I love marriage. I believe God loves married folks. I just believe you just get married. Stay married. And one thing about being married, I don't care where you go. You know your wife is with you. Oh, she's not with you. She might not be by your side. But she's with you. Same thing about being saved. Christ is with you. He's with you. So it's powerful, it's personal, it's profound, and it's permanent. And you get it right, it's permanent. We believe it. Once saved, always saved. This is what Jesus said here. Go in peace. Now, did she sin again? You better believe she did. But she had that personal relationship with the Lord. And she could say, like John 1:9, say, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Now, have you touched the Lord? I guess that's the question you have to ask. How do we apply this message to our life? Have you touched the Lord? And what happened when you touched him? Did something profound happen to you? Did you have a personal relationship with him? I got to get on my knees. I got to pray. I want to talk to the pastor. I want to see the people of God. I want to be around them. I want to eat with them. I want to dine with them. I want to be in the house of God. It's a package. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God.